Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back. So, changing up again. I love it. Listen, we've got a returning guest, and he's outstanding. He's great to listen to and talk to. The guy can paint a story in your mind. And so we're going to take full advantage of that and enjoy our time today with Joel Fontinos. And Joel is the author and vice president and publisher of Tartar Penguin, Random House, and publisher over at Tartar Perigee. Okay, welcome back, Joel. Glad to have you back.
Thanks so much. So glad to be back.
I'm really excited to have Joel back on the program, ladies and gentlemen, because he's an author, speaker. He's known as a spiritual businessman. He's vice president and publisher, as I mentioned. And he's got a book that we have talked about on a previous program. I'll remind you of My Life Contract, 90-Day Program for Prioritizing Your Goals, Staying on Track, Keeping Focus, and Getting Results. Isn't that what we all really need, Joel?
I think so. You know, it's certainly what everybody talks about.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, talking it and actually doing it, which is, of course, which separates two different worlds. The website today, ladies and gentlemen, for our program, you can visit more with Joel over at his website, Joel Fontinos, FOTINOS.com, JoelFontinos.com. And I wanted to kind of pick up a little bit where we left off. There were some subjects you and I didn't get a chance to get to, Joel, and I wanted to do that. And I think you're going to like my questions because they're going to tap into some of your background and some of your experience as a licensed minister with the Centers for Spiritual Living. I know you do a lot of traveling and talking and helping people understand both the spirituality of their lives as well as just getting themselves grounded. And it's going to apply in a way that people might not connect these dots, but I'd like to do that with you if you're game.
Sure. All right. Absolutely.
Well, here it comes. And it's going to come from the left side of the brain, and that is the importance and the process of making decisions. You know, in our everyday lives, we have to make a series of decisions, some of them very easy, automatic, in fact. Some of them very, very difficult. Some of them a challenge. Some of them just mind-numbing, heart-wrenching. Some of them just, we don't even know where to start. In fact, we don't even know how to frame the question. And so I thought to myself, well, that's something that with your background and also with the spiritual element, because sometimes we ask ourselves is, for those of us that have faith at the center of our lives, we ask ourselves the question, is this what God wants me to do? Mm-hmm. Where are God's fingerprints on this? And I'm not, right. In some respects, we think, well, okay, that's a sign. And, you know, we could be careful with that kind of thinking. But at the same time, we're looking for some sort of indication of what's the right decision. So let's take all that, ball it all up, and help me figure it out, man.
Okay? Well, sometimes to go from backwards forward, sometimes I think God looks at us and says, make a decision already.
Right.
Just make a decision, any decision. One of my mentors said something in one of his books that changed my life forever, and it was this line. He said, indecision is actually the individual's decision to fail.
Ooh.
Indecision is actually the individual's decision to fail. And when I read that, it went all the way inside of me, as sometimes, you know, the right words at the right moments do. And I recognize myself in that. I recognize that up to that point in my life, I was somebody who used indecision to sabotage my life, to stay stuck where I was. And yet, I don't think I would have characterized myself that way outwardly. But when I heard that and saw indecision is really a decision to fail, I knew that that's what I had been doing. And from that point forward, I started to flex the decision muscle within so that I could get stronger in making great decisions. And I started small and built up, and then I made some big life decisions that really turned my life around. So I'm a big believer in becoming a strong decision maker in our lives.
Well, that sums it up. I don't need to do anything else today, Joel. That's good. No, that's excellent. I mean, and I'll date myself and also maybe surprise people. I'm a big Rush fan and, you know, I've followed their work from the 70s, 80s, 90s, into the 2000s. I mean, they're a Canadian rock band for those people that don't know. And they've got, three or four decades of music. And they've got a song called Free Will. And one of the lines in the chorus says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
Right.
And I just have that ring through my head sometimes, like, David, you know, get on with it. Okay, so we get some of that. So if somebody, let's just go straight to it. Somebody's out there, or if I'm, let's just say it's me, I'll jump on the couch and you can give me some advice as I sit back and relax and tell you what I'm thinking and you can help me sort it out. Let's say I've got a really important decision I need to make and I don't want to make it, or I'm not sure, either I don't want to make the decision, at which of course makes you wonder if I've already made the decision. Dan Ariely, the author, has says, you know, sometimes people have this irrational, he calls it predictably irrational, where we make a decision, then we go try to find the evidence for what we've already made as an irrational
right.
decision. But the point is, either I don't want to make the decision for those reasons, or don't know how to make the decision. So what's my first step when I'm facing something, it's obviously not, what am I having for lunch today? We're talking about some sort of major...
big life thing.
Big life, or... not just my own life. I think where it gets really hard is when it affects other people.
Yeah. Well, in the scenario that you just mentioned, the first part, if I don't want to make the decision, usually that means we already know what the answer to the decision should be. And we know it's going to be hard.
Okay.
But the thing to remember in those cases is that prolonging actually making the decision that we know we ultimately have to make is actually just making things even harder. So it's better to sometimes just make the decision, rip the Band-Aid off, and deal with the thing that you are trying to avoid dealing with than it is to keep hemming and hawing and putting it at bay. It just gets bigger and harder, even though sometimes in our brains we think, if we don't deal with it, if I don't make this decision, it'll just go away. And that's rare. The truth is, especially those big decisions that, as you say, meant affect other people,
yeah.
sometimes those decisions are... financial decisions that affect
sure.
our family.
Sure.
Sometimes they're health decisions for ourselves
right.
or for people that we are caring for. And we just need to make those decisions ultimately and kind of man up and just do it. And ultimately, when we get on the other side, and we've all had that experience, when we do that and get on the other side of it, we're really glad that we did.
Well, well put, Joel. And, you know, I've heard the term or the description, and I'm sure a lot of people have, that, you know, sometimes these things, they fester. And that festering is, you know, that's like a sore that just doesn't get better, and it gets bigger and worse if it gets infected, and not to be too graphic, but it's not good. And that, you know, from a medical standpoint, you know, doctors or nurses or your primary care physician will say, leave it alone. Slap a Band-Aid on it with some Neosporin, or if we need to go in and do something about it, let's clean it up and move on.
Right.
So I think that that's where the process can get, you know, it kind of starts feeding itself. Now, let's go to the second scenario. I kind of gave you two little paths that we could go on.
Right.
The second is when we know it's going to have, it's not just, you know, it's one thing for us to make decisions that affect ourselves. And, you know, and all of this, of course, I could, you know, connect the obvious dot here. All this relates to all types of parts of our lives, but especially with our finances. You know, the classic example that I run into sometimes, Joel, is I meet with somebody and they like, you know, I they've asked me to give them a second opinion. They know what they've got. There's something about it that's not fitting for them, or it bothers them, or something's not sitting right. I look at what they've got and I find out or share with them that, you know, and validate some of their concerns. And in order for them to do what they need to do and do what's best for them, guess what? They're going to have to leave or sever a relationship, maybe with a friend or worse yet, a family member who's been handling their finances. So that decision-making that they know they need to make is still going to affect other people. And that's, you know, that. So what do you suggest when they know the decision either that they need to make or that they feel like they at least have to explore is going to affect other people? How do they get their mind around that?
I think what I need to do when I'm in that situation is I have to remember that these are people who are counting on me to be strong and to make a decision. If I were relying on somebody else, I would not want them to be in a state of indecision, hemming and hawing. I would want them to be decisive and clear. And sometimes decisive and clear, you sometimes make maybe not the right decision, but a decision is oftentimes better than no decision at all. So, you know, I think about that with my family and also with my employees, that they are looking to me to be a decisive person, to be a leader in that area. And that's true at all levels of life, whether we're students, whether we work at home or work in the home. or whether we are CEOs of corporations.
Yeah.
The more decisive we are, the more we build that muscle of decision in our life, the more other people then can count on us and will count on us and look to us as leaders. So that's not always a natural fit for certain people.
No, it's
especially
not.
Especially when they get thrown in certain situations.
Right.
And yet, that's the mindset we have to turn ourselves to or toward so that we can actually rise to the occasion. Because there are certain occasions we do have to rise toward, and that means making decisions. Now, by the way, sometimes the right decision is to do nothing. And that is an okay decision to make.
But you got to make it affirmatively, right?
Right. You have to be conscious about it. You have to make that the decision rather than the default setting.
It can't just be, well, if I don't do anything, it'll work out. I'll just kind of, well, let me just see. And you make an outstanding point, Joel, and I'm really pleased to hear you say it because, number one, it validates what I already believe, and, of course, I like that. But you make a really good point. I've heard from psychologists and I've heard in business circles as it relates to our families. You know, kids have – it's been said that kids get very nervous and uncomfortable when, you know, that there is not clarity and decisiveness. And then in the work environment, you know, one of the number one traits, top traits of leaders – right or wrong, you might not agree with them, but the ability to make decisions and move the company forward.
Yes.
Now, I don't think any employee expects an employer or business leader to be right 100% of the time, but they want them to move the football down the field.
Right, and have a point of view and
exactly.
to be able to explain it very clearly and then make decisions based on it. You know, I worked for somebody, this is years ago, so...
Well, let's do this, Joel. Let's grab a break and you can tell that story because I'm getting the sign from Amanda. It's time to take a break. If you're just joining us, you see why he's back. Joel Fotinos is our guest today. JoelFotinos.com. The book is My Life Contract, 90-Day Program for Prioritizing Your Goals, Staying on Track, Keeping Focus, and Getting Results. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Dignity Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373. Or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
And we're back. Joel Fotinos on the line, returning guest. Glad to have him. JoelFotinos.com. And you started. I had to take a break there, Joel. I wanted to start to share a story with us before the break.
Right. We were talking about strong decision makers,
and
both in the family and in life and in business. And I was just going to share a quick story that years and years ago I worked for a person who was not a great decision maker. And so all of us employees of this person would get together and we would say, what's going on? And it would create this state of confusion and chaos.
Hmm.
And eventually when he left, he was replaced by somebody who came in, made sharp fast decisions. Not that we all agreed with those decisions, but it felt so great to be in the midst of somebody who at least knew what they were doing and was following through. That's true on the macro level, and it's also true on the micro level in our own lives.
Yeah.
So the more we, as I said before, flex that muscle, build that muscle of decision making, really, I think the better our lives end up moving forward.
Absolutely. So back to the other part of this that I alluded to earlier, Joel, and I'd like to get your take on this part as well. It's kind of a funny way of describing it, but to frame the question, I need to frame the question of, or have you help me, how do we frame the question if we're trying to make the decision? You know, is there a technique or a strategy, and you may have talked about this in your book as well, are there some ideas that you can give us on saying, okay, look, how do we capture this decision, because it's so easy for this stuff to pound and run and roll around in our minds, and we can't seem to get our mind completely around. Is there a way to kind of get our, you know, hold it down with our fingers on a piece of paper and say, okay, is there a process you can recommend?
For decision making?
Yes.
Yeah, there are several things. I mean, I'm a very practical person, as you know, and I'm from the Midwest. We like things that are simple and that work. So there are a few techniques that I use when I'm making a decision, especially when I'm in a place of where I really don't feel like I know what the answer is. Sometimes I do, and I want to avoid it. But when I really don't, what I try to do is I ask myself a couple questions. One is, which decision that I make in this situation is going to actually make me feel the best, is going to bring me the most joy or happiness? And I always tell people who I mentor to try as often as possible to go toward the joy. Not the immediate joy, but the joy that the decision, the consequence of the decision is going to make. So if it's a decision that seems very difficult and there are four or five different outcomes based on the decision, which outcome do I want the most? Which outcome is going to make me and my life the best and the happiness?
And you're calling it long-term joy.
Long-term joy, okay. Not just the immediate instant gratification. Because for the most part, the immediate instant gratification answer is, I don't want to do anything.
Right, right.
So we're talking kind of the next step beyond that. So thinking about what is the outcome that I want the most, and then what decision is actually going to get me there. That's one technique that I use.
Okay.
I use that a lot because it helps me remember, oh, right, I'm really in this for the outcome of the situation. Another technique, and this is one that a therapist actually taught me, and I thought at the time when she mentioned it to me that it was far too simple and silly to actually work, but then I started using it, and it's funny how well it works, and it's this. When I'm in a situation and I think I really honestly don't know what to do, she said, ask yourself this, if I did know what to do, what would that decision be?
Right. Right.
And it's so funny how that simple way of just kind of changing the question, if I really did know, what would it be, allows us to kind of just move past the block of, gee, I don't know, into, well, if I did know, I probably would do this.
You're getting out of your own way is what you're doing.
You get out of your own way, and it's just asking the question maybe in a slightly different way. And that's a helpful thing for us. Those are just small techniques and tools. And then the third thing that I'll just mention is I have found that the basic answer to almost any question that in terms of what should we do next, it comes down to one of four basic answers. And so I look at those four basic answers and I think which one applies to the situation. And those four basic answers are A, do nothing at this time, B, backtrack and get more information, C, move forward, or D, move forward quickly.
Hmm.
And so sometimes I will think of the situation at hand, and then I will think of those four basic movements, and I'll think which one applies to this situation. And that helps inform my decisions moving forward. So at times I had a family health situation, and I really thought, what's the right thing to do here? I thought of these four basic movements.
Hmm.
And the right one was to do nothing at this time. And that felt so great to know that I was consciously choosing that. In other situations, it might be really move forward, do something right away, really quickly, or one of the other two.
Hmm. That's really helpful, Joel. I like that a lot. I'm seeing that and how you can apply it. And, you know, I'm going to ask you, because I know the listeners are thinking this question myself, and I will be heading to another break here, but I want to ask, you do a lot of speaking. You've got the workshops you do. You give talks all around the country. Do you also do some coaching as well in some of this area?
I do coaching.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of it right now just because of the amount of time that I don't have, but I do, yes, and people can go to my website.
All right, excellent. I know that's a bit of a softball question, but I'm actually being a little bit selfish here asking you that question, because sometimes I run into decisions I need to make myself, and I'm like, okay, well, who can I talk to about this to kind of walk through my thought process and help me, you know, identify maybe where I should be in that those four options you just gave? Because sometimes,
right,
you know, in a lot of situations, you know, either with a spouse or with business partners or business relationships, or, you know, there are interested parties in all of those things. And you always have, you know, we always find ourselves, at least this is my personal experience, you always have to say, okay, well, I want to talk to this person about this, but they have this perspective. So for somebody to be able to go to somebody like you, talk to you and say, look, Joel, here's what I'm thinking. I need some help with this decision. you're not an quote-unquote interested party with regard to the outcome.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and talking to somebody else gives perspective and a way of looking at things in a completely different way.
All right. Well, I just had to ask because I know people are thinking that as they listen to you and I talk. Joel Fotinos, ladies and gentlemen, the website, of course, is joelfotinos.com. F-O-T-I-N-O-S. Don't try to put a P-H in there, okay? F is the way you spell it. The book is My Life Contract, 90-Day Program for Prioritizing Goals, Staying on Track, Keeping Focus, and Getting Results. That break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. Kids who play sports at the Y learn more than just the game. The programs provide positive, fun activities that build athletic, social, and interpersonal skills, which lead to better behavior, healthier lifestyles, and even improved academic achievement. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Well, welcome back. And not anonymous is Joel Fotinos. There he is. He's author, vice president, publisher over at Tartar Penguin Random House. And we're very glad to have him back. The book is My Life Contract, 9-Day Program for Prioritizing Your Goals, Staying on Track, Keeping Focus, and Getting Results. And I know that you wrote this book, because we've talked about it before, Joel, to help people really get clarity on how to move their life forward, make some prioritizing these goals, which again is kind of framing the question, and then getting the results they're looking for, and they can get more information about that over on your website that I mentioned. So I think that the process you gave us before the break of at least saying, look, with a decision, it's not no man's land, it's not a quagmire of this ambiguous, amorphous, undefined decision process. You actually can, because you are in default position A. You've not made a decision. You are really choosing A, nothing. And then you have to either decide to stay in A and stay at nothing for right now in terms of your actions, or is it back up for more information, move forward, or move forward quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. When would somebody choose between move forward, I guess at a more measured pace, let's kind of take it as it comes, but let's move this forward, versus the moving forward with haste?
It depends on the situation. So, for instance, at the corporation that I work at, there are times when there are projects that come and we think, yes, we do want to move forward with this, but we want to move forward very carefully. Mm-hmm. We want to get data. We want to watch the competition, and we want to see what happens and develop the project very carefully. Then there are other projects that are very time sensitive, and we think we got to get this out to the market so fast
yesterday
so that we ride the wave.
Yeah,
and that also could be true, for instance, with health related decisions, where there are decisions that you can make that I'm going to drink more water. Well, that's a great decision, and you can just kind of start drinking more water every day. Great thing to do. But then there are other decisions that you need to make decisions about with your health right away if you start feeling certain, things in your body.
Right.
And oftentimes men especially, I've read statistically, men often will have certain health issues come up and then avoid it and say, I'll take care of it later.
Right.
Instead, they should be making that decision to move forward very quickly.
Wait a minute, Joel. Are you saying guys are hard-headed? Hold on.
Only this one.
Yeah. Well, I think all men can say, yeah, well, maybe a little. You raise another set of analogies, and those are excellent. And I think that, these are all things that we've got to think about. And I was thinking as you were describing these choices, which you described between moving forward or moving forward quickly. My company, for example, we're growing, and we are in a place where we may need to bring on additional support, maybe bring on another advisor to help with working with clients. So that's a decision that I've already made. It's in your category C, where I already know that's something that we're going to do, we need to do, we want to do, but I'm not going to put an ad in the paper tomorrow and say, come one, come all. I want to do it in a measured way, as opposed to I've made the decision that, for example, I'm going to do a set of public seminars in January. that's a quick decision. It's done, moved on. In fact, the decision's done. There's not really anything else for me to do now except for it to unfold.
Right, exactly.
Hmm.
And then
stuff.
The fourth one, of course, is sometimes you have to backtrack.
Yeah.
You know, and that can look a couple of different ways. One is that you start to move forward in something and you think, okay, this was not the right decision. And then you backtrack and you get back to home base, if you will, and analyze, what did I learn, what worked, what didn't work, and that will inform your decision moving forward in the future. It also means sometimes you have to go backwards and you have to kind of clean up a mess. On a personal level, or even on a professional level, you have to go back and you have to rebuild a bridge. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to do whatever you need to do. And that's the backwards of the four steps.
You know, you're actually suggesting, Joel, that we have to admit that we did something wrong. And I know that in tongue in cheek, but I know that that sometimes is harder than some of those other choices. You know, and this is where the saying, don't put good money after bad, as it relates to business decisions. And it's hard. And I have seen people with their finances, you know, say, well, it's a paper loss. I'm never going to sell it. Because if they sell it, they have to admit that, well, that wasn't a good investment. Or, you know, all of these things in our, sometimes, again, we do get in our own way. I tell you what, Joel, we've made an entire show out of one subject, and I am so thankful that you were willing to come and talk with us. Joel Fontinos, ladies and gentlemen. And Joel, of course, you've got the website, joelfontinos.com, and the book, My Life Contract, 9-day program for prioritizing goals, staying on track, keeping focus, and getting results all in one breath. Joel, thank you very much, sir, for being with me again.
Thank you, David. And by the way, I'm a Rush fan as well, so it's great to know that.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.